Codage nam plate, a civic elegy, or an oration upon Putin's return of Crimea. Though justice against fate complain, and plead the ancient rights in vain, but those to hold or break, as men are strong or weak. Andrew Marvell. The wind of history is blown. I am no weathercock to turn each time it wills. I struggle, but in vain. The wind is blustering, the waters beneath me obey its gusts, and I am adrift with my steadfast convictions, carried to such places in which they are no more appropriate than snow tires in an African country that has no roads. Convictions are a belligerent thing. They turn you into their convict victim. They are a fiction ever in friction with all else. Yet the friction is idle, bogged down in this watery substance called life, with no real point of departure for the one seeking the things up with which he will not put. I have never put up with Putin, nor with my compatriot's jingoistic frenzy, but drifting apart isn't the same as dropping an anchor. Encore, encore, they throng my blazing mind. On one hand, and on the other hand, although, but still, what if, so what? The Congress of my mind is in gridlock. Enter the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. The left hemisphere. Is nationalism bad? The right hemisphere. Yes, the left hemisphere. But you favour the West, the right hemisphere. Yes. But it has by and large, at one point or another, been nationalistic. Well, yes, but the West has also fostered humanism. That's true, though not only the West. Certainly, and I'll always opt for Avicenna as against Torquemada. What I'm for is civilization. But civilization was nourished with blood. Alas, but then civilization produced the culture that extols charity and shuns bloodshed, at least by word of mouth. Would that Tolstoy heard you. He'd burst out laughing. Be it as it may, blood came together with the birth pangs of civilization, but now it's unnecessary. But now it's our birth curse. At least we exist. Existence is the final argument, that of force, or, as it is sometimes called, an appeal to the cudgel. Truly, our history and civilization are no more the result of a farmer's plough than of a looter's cudgel. The only difference being that the offspring of our accursed simian progenitor realized that the cudgel they brought to perfection might not spare them either, or rather that they might be not spared. The passive voice is more accurate, for should the cudgel fall on their heads, there will be no one to blame, and they'll be deprived of this ultimate pleasure. Codage nam plit. Neither the mighty of the earth nor the poor in spirit like to theorize. We exist, and that'll suffice. Well, the problem persists. It's not that we don't have a clue. The clues are many, but the door is missing. You may side with Gandhi, or you may follow Caesar. The first is a peacemaker, the second is a son of Mars. The first is the son of civilization, and the second, its father. Surely you aren't comparing Caesar to... God forbid. At any rate, it would be easy to accept the fact that both Caesar and Gandhi were right, each in his own time. But our world isn't a successive melody. It is a palimpsest of voices. You want to be a man of principle, but principle means one. Only lunatics hear different voices all at once. Verily, we are all victims of pluralism, and the more the better. You fancy you're one and whole, and that's what you think you ought to be, but it ain't necessarily so. Upon my word, it's getting boring. It looks as though the storm is quieting down and we are still in the same quagmire. Indeed, this bickering's utterly unoriginal. It isn't much different from an ape's grimacing before a mirror, hence the cultural hodgepodge, hence the alliterations, etc., etc. But to conclude, the beautiful thing I find about practically any creature is its kin. No doubt the greatest philosopher of all time was the Little Prince.